Hallelujah. His faithfulness has been great. Hallelujah. He is always faithful. Father, you are always faithful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is in this place. We worship you and we honor you. Hallelujah. Stand up and sing with me. Praise the Lord.
Oh, great is thy faithfulness, oh God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy
Lord. Oh, I know you fight for me. You will acquit me, stand for me and avenge me for my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I. There is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee again. Oh, I know you fight for me. You will acquit me, stand for me and
Thank you, Father, that we can rely on you as our Father and our fighter. We recognize, O God, that you will take our side and fight for us because you are our present help in the times of trouble. We thank you, Lord, that you are a covenant-keeping God. And in your loving kindness and your tender mercies, you are fixing all the wrongness in our lives and imparting to us the gift of righteousness. We come to you, Father, today. You said you will grant to us the keys of the kingdom. Lord, daily we cry out to you for so many things. And sometimes it seems like there's no answer, not because there isn't, but because you've already given to us the keys and you're maturing us and you're challenging us to grow up in the wisdom and knowledge of the things that you've already shown and given to us. Tonight, we ask Holy Spirit, our teacher, that you will teach us. In your patience, help us become everything Father wants us to be in Christ Jesus. We ask this. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. The Word of God tells us that God's people perish, waste away because of a lack of knowledge. There are so many things that we want from God, and it seems like God's hands are folded. And meanwhile, we're busy knocking our heads in and going through temper tantrums, kicking things, blaming everybody. And still, that didn't move God. Because God is more interested in making me a son than just a child. A child really doesn't know its rights. But when you come to a place of sonship, it becomes a different ball game. God is more interested in making me a king than just being a prince. And so there are steps that God will take that I may not be excited about, but it's good for me. Amen? It's good for me. And at some point, as we grow up in God, we become thankful for those times. The Word of God says, God causes all things to work together for good. Yeah? For who? For those that love God and those that have been called according to his purpose. He causes all things to work together for good. That's in Romans 8. God causes all things to work together for good. To them that love God. Says, you love God? I'm going to cause all things to work together for good for you. But then he says, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God calls us according to a particular purpose. Yeah? Not every purpose, a particular purpose. There is a particular purpose why God called you. There's a particular purpose why God called me. And while I am working in the direction of that purpose, God causes everything to work together for me. Now, if I decide to go that way when God wants me to go this way, all things don't work together for good. I still love God, but I'm not being obedient. Are we okay with that? You love God, but you're not obedient. I'm sure if you ask Jonah, do you love God? Jonah will say, oh yes, I love Yahweh. I love God with all of my heart. Okay, God wants you to go this direction. No. Those people over there, they deserve to die. Yeah, it's in a different direction. So, God had to create turbulence so that he lines up. Some of the turbulence we face are not generated by the devil. Let me say that again. Some of the turbulence we face in life are not devil generated. They are purpose generated. God loves me so much, he wants me to do the right. So, he will allow me to go through an experience that forces me to align myself back to his will, because he's more interested in making me more like him rather than letting me become more like the devil. The devil is rebellious. Will you accept that? He was called to be a worshiper, anointed to be a worshiper, but he decided to rebel against the purpose that God had for him. Now, watch this. He rebelled against the purpose that God had for him because he wanted that purpose that God had for him to be his. Don't lose me now. God created him to be a worshiper, but he wanted to be the one worshipped. Now that's rebellion. Worship was still there. If you were to say to the devil, do you love this thing called worshiping? He would say, absolutely. I love worship. It's amazing. I'm created to worship. And if you were to come to him the next day and say, do you still love worship? Oh, yes, I love worship. But I want to experience it myself. I know I've been giving it to him, but I want it to come this way so I can feel what he feels. That, interestingly enough, becomes a downfall of most believers. Say, how? Because in whatever it is that we do, we want to turn it over to us. Praying to God, I want to see how that feels. So everybody line up. You all line up and honor me by asking for my prayer so that things can happen in your life, rather than let me show you how to pray. Are we together? Yeah. Let me show you how to connect. Because the idea is not about you connecting to me. The idea is about you connecting to him. So even if you came to me, my pointing out is to him. He is the center of it all. It's not me. And so we pursue whatever will make people focus on us. So I will tell you about how I spend 15 hours praying so that you can focus on me and, oh, what a mighty man of God. No, he's mighty. Yeah? He's mighty. And I need to focus on him. And we need every one of us to watch. Watch for that. That at no time do you become the one that is the object of attention. John the Baptist says, when they were talking about what was happening with Jesus, he says, he must increase and I must decrease. And the quest is less of me, more of him. Amen? The more I know him, the less I become, so that he can become more. So ultimately then, when we talk about praying and fasting, it's about causing ourselves to be less so that he can become more. You know, you just have a little touch and now, oh, mighty me. Mighty me, okay. That's like a flash on a pan. You want to last as a child of God and have an impact that is lasting? You and I must learn how to understand that it's about him. Everything is about him. How can I live my life to honor him, to glorify him, so that I'm not in the way? I'm not in the way. Because God wants to use our lives. God really, really wants to use our lives. And it's not because of all the stuff that we bring to the table. It's about our surrender to him. The greatest thing that you and I can do is to, I know we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and all spiritual wickedness. But ultimately, the greatest battle that you and I face is the battle of me, myself, and I. We have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. The flesh wants attention. It wants to be known. It wants to be popular. It wants to be tolerated and accepted and celebrated and all of that. And if that's the quest that I pursue, then I become a man pleaser because I want their focus and their attention to be on me. say, Pastor, that no, I'm not like that. I know it's the Lord. I know. Yeah. Until you get to go through a test. It's a very simple test. Somebody has a headache, and you prayed for them, and the headache left. It's gone. And give you the testimony. Oh, look what happened. My headache just went. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, so-and-so was going through this problem, and I just did this, and the problem just got solved. Oh, thank God, God is good. But we know when we check your heart, we know who we're talking about. We're talking about, look at how anointed I am. Is this too grassroots for us this evening? Listen, God can use anything. It is only by His grace that I'm so privileged to be part of what He is doing. There was a prophet called Balaam. Invited by Balak, because he knew if Balaam blesses anybody, that person is going to be blessed. If he curses, that person is going to be cursed. He sent his men to come talk to Balaam, and Balaam says, oh no, I can't go with you. Let me consult with God first and hear what God has to say. So he hears from God. God says, don't go with them. He comes to them and says, I'm not coming. Why? We've got all this money for you. Why can't you come? God doesn't want me to go. Okay. So they go. And they come back after a few weeks or whatever with more money and bigger emissaries. Our boss, King Balak, he says, you should come. He sees what they brought and says how important these people were. He says, but I told you guys I'm not going to do this. But anyway, just sit down here. Let me go check. Hello? He says, absolutely not. I think he had a third batch. And he goes through the same process. Now God said, okay. You can go, but you can only bless them and not curse them. Do you understand? Yeah. So he heads out, riding on his donkey. And an angel of the Lord shows up, wants to cut his head off. And Prophet Balaam could not see the angel. His donkey saw it. How is a donkey able to see it? Because the prophet has been sitting on the donkey all this time, and the anointing has come upon the donkey. Donkey has become a prophet. But the prophet is now blind, blinded by stuff. To prove the point, he goes from one mountain to the other, to the other, to the other, trying to curse the people of God. But what came out of his mouth was the blessing. Now he's not going to get all that money. So what does he do? He tells Balak, I tell you what, if you want to get these people cursed, get their guys to start messing around with your girls, and you get them polluted, and the breach will be there. Balaam. Balaam became an agent of darkness. Because he was all about stuff. The gifts of God are without repentance. We must, and I say this for all of our benefit, because this much I do know for certain, God is going to reveal himself in a mighty way through every one of us in ways that are so glorious, and we need to watch for each other to make sure that we're not crossing the line like the devil, rather than giving the worship, wanting the worship. When any one of us becomes arrogant and thinks they are all that, we should be present to help that one. Say, hey, brother, I cannot read everything. I may be totally wrong, but I'm seeing certain patterns. And we cannot lose you. We cannot lose you. So whatever it is that is cooking behind the scenes, go before the Lord. I'm standing in prayer with you. Because the word of God says, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will do what? He will lift you up. He will exalt you. He says, submit yourself to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee. But you've not learned humility, and you want to go pray what? That's how a lot of men fail. Do things that they, in their wildest dreams, never thought they will do. They never thought they will ever fail like they just failed. Well, because you've already started accumulating the honor that belongs to God to yourself in some little way, shape, or form, and now the devil has access. He has access. So the word of God says we need to bear each other's burdens. We need to watch out for each other. Jesus, our Lord, said to his disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. Watch and pray. He says, can't you tarry with me for 1 hour? The word of God says, pray one for the other. Let me ask, how much time do you spend praying for me? Do you even think pastor needs your prayers? Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, after he says, put on the whole armor of God, he comes to the Spirit and says, and pray for me also. Pray for me also. Every pastor, every man, every woman of God needs the prayers of the saints. We need it. Because it doesn't, you see, the edge of truth is, the Bible says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah? So, the line between truth and lies is so sharp, so narrow. And And when we love, you can only truly pray for somebody that you love. Yeah? When you truly love, you will pray. When you truly love, you will watch. When you truly, not because you want to be critical and judgmental and all of that, but rather because you want them safe, because you want you safe. This love is a selfish kind of love. I want you to be okay because I need you to be okay when, if I'm going into any mess, that your eyes are sharp and you can catch me and help me. That if something is going wrong, that God can speak to you because he can trust you and say, pray for Pastor. Something is happening around there. Pray for Sister so-and-so. Something's happening. Pray for Brother so-and-so. And you look at the brother, everything is perfectly okay. What is the Lord talking about? Pray. He said, pray. Huh? But not only pray, praise God for them. Because that man, that woman may be going through something, they're struggling through something, and even the Lord Jesus Christ needed help. Do you understand? Did he not? He fell under the weight of the cross and needed help. And a black man came alongside and helped him. We all need help. The day that I think I don't need help, that's the day I go sit down and say, oh, wait a minute, something is off here. Something is off. I need help. You need help. That's why we must pray for each other, so that God's hand on us can cause us to flourish in righteousness and in truth. These are the last of the last days. These are evil days. These are very wicked days. And we need each other. It's an old song way, way back that we used to sing. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Remember that song? Together, something we will stand. Well, that is the truth. That is the truth. We need each other. It's called the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And we need each other. We need to pray for each other. Oh, that's not my church. I don't know what they're doing over there. Pray for, as long as they're calling the name of Jesus, you better be praying for them. If that church is going through a crisis, you're not called to celebrate their downfall. You're called to go alongside. How can we be of help? How can we cover you? Cover your nakedness. Huh? That's where unity is. Unity is like the skirt that wrapped around Aaron. What do? We expose other people's nakedness so that we can take their place. Let me tell you something. Because that other business collapsed does not mean that their business is going to come to you. Because that marriage fell apart does not mean that that man or that woman is going to be your spouse. Don't celebrate people's downfall. This is for somebody. I don't know where this person is. But the fact is, people many times because they are not operating the spirit of love, celebrate other people's pain. This man just lost the wife died, and all of a sudden, all the women start circling him. They want him. Huh? For what reason? You've not spent time praying that God will comfort him. You want to be the comforter? You're called to be the comforter now? That's your ministry? No. That's wickedness. Pray, you cry out, you help, you do whatever without having any extraneous ideas behind whatever help that you're providing. And God will sort out that man or sort out that woman. Don't torpedo your life celebrating other people's pain. And it's not just about if it's a believer, I will not celebrate that. It's just even of your enemies. He says, the day if I am disciplining a man or a woman, and all of a sudden you jump down and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I saw it coming. God says, oh, you saw it coming? I'm leaving it alone. You give life to that wickedness. And that man, that woman will start thinking, I got away with it. It must be okay. And it became okay because you jumped into it. You know, if your father is not, I'm not suggesting that this should be the case, but if the son or daughter, you know, is getting the whooping, and that happens to be your brother, your sister, and you start celebrating it, you know what some fathers will do? Most fathers will do? They will stop flogging this one and find the one that's celebrating. Che. That's what happens. That's like God. God wants to be glorified in you and through you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is all a setup to what God wants to do with every one of us, and is calling us to become disciplined men and women, disciples. Disciples. Disciples of the Lord don't compete with each other. The mother of James and John come to the Lord and says, when you get to your kingdom, because Jesus is talking about kingdom stuff, he says, when you get to your kingdom, let my son, one of them, sit on your right hand and the other one on the left hand. And Jesus says, that's not for me to do. However, can you drink from the same cup that I'm drinking from? Say, oh yeah, we can do that. We can do that. The end result, James is the first one that dies. Yeah? Be careful what you're looking for and asking for. Because you might just get it. I want this, I want that, I want this. Be careful what you want. I remember one day I was praying about something. I was just about to start declaring judgment on a particular individual in my prayers because of the wicked things that they were doing. And the Lord says, be careful what you say. I said, why? He said, because what you're about to ask, when it happens, the payment of taking care of that person's burial is coming from you. You go and pay for it. I said, me? I said, okay, I back off. I don't want to pay that bill. I just have to be candid. So the only prayer that is proper is a prayer that is led by the Spirit of God. Not born out of your emotions, how you feel, what you think. God could care less about what you think about this. What is my thought concerning this? Have you sought wisdom and understanding to know what my heartbeat is about this? That's what I want to do. If you've not gotten it yet, I am going all over the place. I'm preaching so many messages at the same time this evening, because there are certain things that God is wanting to address. Be careful what you're praying about, what you're asking about. Make sure that you are in line with what God wants. Father, what do you want? Jesus saw what the Father wanted, and then he manifested that in the earth. We too need to do the same thing and now allow each other to do the same thing. There are people who've asked me to pray about particular things, and I'll say, I'll pray about that. But give me some time. Let me hear the heart of God about this. Will you please call so and so? Okay. And I want to call. The Lord won't let me. I want again. Okay, you can call now. And then I call then, and it's the perfect time. If I had called 2 hours before or 2 days before, it would be the wrong time. God wants me to be in line with his will and his purpose at the right time. Point, don't get rushed. Don't get rushed and say, I got to do this now, I got to do this now. If you get in rushed, you're going to be sold a bill of goods that you are not going to be happy with. One of the things I've learned through the years is if I want to buy something that costs a lot of money, I make sure I don't buy it right then, no matter how much I like it. Except if God says, buy it now, because it will not be. I make sure I don't. I hold down, cool down, so that I am not running with adrenaline to purchase something, and then when it comes down, I am disappointed with it. Slow down. The world is not going to end right now. Slow down. Cool. Or else you're going to do something that does not line up. Especially in a time when there are lots of scammers out there. It's still true. If it's too good to be true, the chances are it is. But that does not mean that God cannot give you a good deal. Huh? But you have to have a sense from God that that's what he wants you to be doing. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle myself here? And he will intervene for you. I assure you, as I stand here, that God will show up for you and God will help you. But you and I must first put him first and ask what he wants done. Then every other thing gets added to us. But if you're not living that way, sorry, there's a price to be paid. There is a price to be paid. That goes with your emotions. So many people just lose a handle of their emotions. And the word of God teaches the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You're so upset, you're throwing things all over the place. You're angry. God doesn't say you shouldn't be angry. He says, be angry, but sin not. Was the Lord Jesus Christ angry? Of course. Kicked down the tables, threw people's money all over the place. You brood of vipers. Can you believe this? But everything tempered in order because his anger was about how they were treating the things of God. It was not about him. Since my house is supposed to be called a house of prayer to all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. This is not the purpose. Oh, well, we're trying to make things easier for people so that they don't have to bring the image of Caesar into the temple. The word of God says we should not have any images. So we're going to have our own special coins right here so you don't have to go to that bank or wherever. The money exchanges over there will have all of that right here. Oh, you don't have to walk miles and miles down here, you know, bring in your doves or your sheep or whatever, you know, it's right here. We have everything right here for you to make life easy. Convenience. That's not really the problem. The problem is you are here inconveniencing people by providing them convenience, by overcharging them. You have all these surcharges, and now they have to pay all of this, and you're about yourself. This is not about God. Problem? God is saying, whatever it is that you and I do, do it as unto the Lord. This is God's will concerning you, that you give God thanks in everything. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So whatever it is that you're doing, let it have the heart of God at the core of it. Let it be God. Because you can deceive me, but you can't deceive God. You can tell me stories and say, well, that's not why we're doing it. We're doing this for this reason and for that reason. And God, who searches the heart, knows exactly why you're doing what you're doing. Or why you're not doing what you're doing. He knows. So the thing that I need to have settled in my life is to understand that God sees everything, knows everything. I cannot lie to him. I cannot lie to God. He doesn't play that game. So, I need to be certain that whatever it is that I'm doing or whatever it is that I'm saying, that I'm doing it according to His divine mandate in honor of Him, glorifying Him, that I'm there about Him and doing His will rather than pursuing my own agenda for my own purposes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God knows me. God knows what I'm thinking. Why I'm saying what I'm saying. Why I'm doing what I'm doing. He's not fooled. If you ever think God is fooled, then you have an idol in your heart. And that idol you have decided is bigger than God. Well, I'm not hearing Him say anything else to me to say, so I will stop. Except if I hear Him say something. But I believe that's what all He wanted me to say. Add all kinds of scriptures, because I didn't hear exactly what the Lord wanted to say. So I said, let me just have something, you know, build on something that I already started talking about earlier today and just build on that, go a little bit deeper and that's not what we're talking about. Okay, what are we talking about? I will tell you. So that's why I was going dealing with all kinds of issues this evening. Huh? Yes, He is. You know, we just have to have that settled. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, tomorrow we're going to have the beginnings of the new year. Tonight is actually the last day of the year. And we'll start the new year tomorrow. And Rosh Hashanah is a very, very important feast celebration from God. It's a prophetic time. It's a time that God points us in the direction of where His agenda is, what He wants to do. This, anyway, I'll save that till tomorrow. This is an extremely important year for us. Because it's a year that God wants to do some very unique things with our lives. And I encourage you with the strongest words that I can encourage you with by saying, do everything to make certain that you're here for these next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm expecting God to do some major work in my life. I'm expecting God to do the same thing with your life. This son is going to be here with us all 3 days. I'll be speaking. He's going to speak. God is going to start us out. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay. See why? Well, he comes from Peru. He's Nigerian, but he's doing a great work in Peru. Peru means a lot to me and Mama, because one of the first destiny helpers that we had was a man called Gus Pancovo. And he was from Peru. I don't think he spoke in tongues or anything like that, but he could hear God. He could hear God because Mama and I were in need. We're living in Nivaville at the time. We had money to pay for our rent for that month, and we'd paid. And we're about to step into a new month, and we didn't have a dime. Not a dime to pay for rent. And I'm in school. This man calls me into his office. He was a professor. So how are you doing? I said, I'm blessed. All is well. He says, where are you staying? I said, in Nivaville. Oh. Do you want to come and stay with me at my house? We have a basement suite. You can come. Move your family and come stay with us for as long as you want. I said, you're asking? He said, yeah. I knew I had not a dime. This was God. And we moved. Remember when I tell you about the story of driving my car on empty? It was from his house. Hallelujah. He taught there. I could go with him, but God says, go with your car. And that's why it's so important to listen to God. Because I would not have experienced or known that God could cause me to drive on empty an hour back and forth all week. On an empty gas tank, I would not have known that miracle. But I got to know that. I'm praying that somehow God connects him with that man and his family again, because I don't know where they are. But I'm trusting God knows where they are. And God somehow will connect me, because I want to thank him. He made it possible for us to stay in this nation. And when it was time for us to move, we moved from there to Dufferin. That's where because we wanted our own place, and God opened that place for us. It's the most dangerous place, but that was a safe place for us. God moved us from there to Jagdona Drive. We moved from Jagdona Drive to Lindcrest, and from Lindcrest to where we are now. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. But it started with Gus Pancovo from Peru. Or we would not have seen all of those experiences. God connects the dots. And I believe God is going to connect a lot of dots for his people. Amen? So come with expectant faith and hear what the Lord will say to every one of us in a very powerful way. And when we're having special meetings, take time to invite other people. Your friends, your neighbors, you never know what God is going to do in a life. Let God use you to connect somebody to the anointing that God has for them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let's honor God with our giving. Obviously, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday Bible study is going to be overtaken by the special meetings. So after Wednesday, the next prayer meeting is going to be Friday. Let's honor God with our giving.